Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free, monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber-generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katya J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
You are now listening to Headliners, the show featuring the best and brightest in entertainment worldwide. Now here's your host, Greg Howard Jr.
His new album, At the Ready, is out right now for your listening enjoyment. Please welcome the absolutely fantastic Mr. Brentley Gore. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. I appreciate that intro.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell me, for the listeners who have not heard the album yet, what can they expect going into it?
So At the Ready is my, apart from other records that I've made, it's my second full-length solo record. There's 12 songs. They were all done at a really high level in LA and New York with some of my favorite all-time players, definitely, you know, players that I was privileged to work with. And these songs span from life after the TV show that I did, California Dreams, to into the 2000s. So it's a big sort of deep well, if you will, of material that, you know, got compiled into 12 songs.
Nice. So tell me, what was the genesis of At the Ready? How did At the Ready become your second full-length album?
So you know, most people are releasing music one at a time because of so much self-promotion involved. Not that there's, you know, a ton of business in streaming music, but, you know, music in general, something I'm going to do regardless of whether it's generating like money or not. It's just part of me, and it always has been since I was, you know, a teenager. And so for me, I always had songs, and this particular record at the ready was done after I did a show, the show California Dreams. I had a batch of songs, and I got a deal after that, a record deal. It was a production deal. And so I did like four songs, and then I did a couple of songs, and then I got another deal and did five songs. Well, these songs were all co-written. That's sort of the through line of this record. They were all done under production record deals that I had. And they pretty much sat on hard drives for a while. And at the point of going through material and sort of having this material behind me just sitting there, I was like, I have to get these out. And so I compiled sort of the best of the best of all these co-writes and these record deals. And they all seem to seamlessly work on this At the Ready record. And the 12 songs that made it are the ones that seem to, you know, pass the test, really. So that's kind of what we have here, is 12 songs spanning from 90s to 2000, you know, to into the 2000s. About four or five different legitimate sessions with different players.
So you've done acting and you do music. What would you say has been like the career highlight for you?
You know, career highlight. I mean, the thing I'm most known for was California Dreams, you know, because it was syndicated in 48 countries. So it, you know, it was kind of what, not that I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio famous or anything, but it certainly garnered the most attention. The most rewarding for me has always pretty much been, at the end of the day, I love to sing and write songs. So writing and recording is generally the highlight for me, and performing the music. I ended up doing a lot more music than I did acting, because it just, for me, it just was more my wheelhouse. I wasn't required to, you know, sort of fulfill the need of the screenwriter or the producer of the show or anything. You know, I could sort of just pick up a guitar and write a song, and there I have it. You know, it's like it's done. It's a self-fulfilling piece of art, and that's what songs are for me. So I would have to say the music's the most fulfilling in general.
So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like that anybody with an internet connection can put out music. Mm-hmm. What sets Brentley Gore apart from everybody else?
Well, my own DNA. you know, my songs are generally not written because I'm like, oh, there's a song straight to your heart, and I want that to be, that sounds like it needs to be a good song. My songs are generally, I could pinpoint the relationship, the time and place I was, they're journals. So songs for me are an outpouring of my life, really. So those interested in my life, have, you know, I have a musical soundtrack to that. And If they're not, that's totally fine. I think music tends to be competitive because so many people want to do it. But I don't look at music that way. I think it's just like a food. If you like pizza, you eat pizza. If you like my genre of music and who I am as an artist, then I'm all about it. Thank you for listening. And if not, that's totally okay. You know? So I kind of look at it as a less of a competition and more of a artistic creative process.
Love that.
I think we do get too competitive, Greg. You know what I mean? Like with it all, I think it's like, do I want to play on a world stage? I think I do. I think I would love to do that. I've definitely done that when I was acting. But at the end of the day, if it's like my dad told me one time, he said, if 1% of the population likes you, you're in business. So it's really just about finding your people than more than trying to reach a mass audience. And I have a whole process that I've been through with that, because for many years, I tried to write songs that would reach the greatest, widest variety of people. And it never works. It's always like bass ackwards, you know. You just got to write from your soul, your gut.
So if you had to describe your music with a hashtag, what hashtag would you pick?
Here you go. I would. It's changed. I would say rock, rhythm, and blues.
Nice.
You know, I started out loving the Beatles, and then I loved the Stones, and then I loved Zeppelin, and then I loved all the singer-songwriters from Cat Stevens to James Taylor to, you know, and then I loved bands, and, you know, it just kept going down the line. But I think it all started for me, like so many people and that write music, you know, with the Beatles.
What would you say is the best career advice you've ever been given?
To thine own self be true.
Nice.
Hands down. No doubt. And of course, Shakespeare wrote that. But it's the key. I think it's the key. And I've made all the mistakes, Greg. You know, it's like I've made all the mistakes. I've tried to do everything to please everybody else. And the older I get, the more I realize that it's not the way to go. The way to go is to just be your most authentic self that you possibly can. And then turn the magnifying glass on.
That's fantastic.
That's why I would say DNA. You know? It's the DNA that separates us as artists and as people and as individuals. You know, our own unique branding is built within us. And money often gets in the way. But good art, you know, rises above the financial gain. Good art, you know, changes people's opinions of others and of themselves, I think.
Who is the dream collaboration for you?
Wow. I've gotten to work with so many of my heroes, musically. I would say I think it would have been Bowie.
Nice.
I really do think it would have been Bowie. Because as musical as I am, I'm still an artist at heart. I love performance. You know, that's why I always like, you know, I think maybe it's the actor in me. I don't know. But the performance, the through line of a piece of art would be amazing. I would honestly, if I did something with Bjork, I might lose my mind. You know, people like that, people that are so highly creative that would just pull things out of me that I didn't even know were there. Like that kind of artist. Yeah.
Describe your music using only colors and shapes.
Circles, blues, deep blues, a lot of deep blues, and definitely some reds and oranges in there. I'm giving you primary colors, but maybe some fuchsia. And I just painted my studio deep forest green. And I live in a house that is completely wooded. There's 200 acres of trust land behind me.
Oh, wow.
It's not mine, but it's there. And so, you know, I think the more connected to the earth, the older I get, the more connected to the earth I get. But electric music, not just like, you know, greens remind me of connected to earth, which is kind of where I started on acoustic guitar. But the more connected part of my music ends up like neon blues and, you know, pinks and things like that. Like, I still love that neon feel. It's a great question. I could have a whole podcast on that question.
Since you started doing music, has your creative process changed at all?
It's changed out of necessity. Inspiration sometimes falls short, because I think complacency and getting comfortable in life happens, and it's not as good of a catalyst as sort of being provoked. So when I say changed out of necessity, I think I've sort of poked myself a little bit at times to encourage myself to feel more. Wow, that's something I've never said out loud. Mm-hmm. But I think that's because if I'm not moving, if I'm not growing or creating, then I feel really a bit lost. And I certainly can write about that, but it gets really dark. And I've written from that place, I find that my life in action yields a lot better. It's a lot more rewarding to me when I'm moving. That's why I kind of like, in the beginning, you write a lot of ballads because that's easy to get quiet. It's easy for me to get quiet and write a ballad song, but it's a little more difficult for me to speed everything up. Maybe it's part of being I'm from Nashville originally. It's part of being a Southern boy. You know, maybe I move a little bit slower. When I left high school, I moved to New York and I went to performing arts school. And just that energy of moving into Manhattan and getting in the city totally changes your perspective. And the more of that I have a tendency to inspire me more to do different things. So my creative process has been provoked. I provoke it so that it'll wake up when it's sleeping. I could probably put out a quiet record if I wanted to, like an acoustic-based, really mellow, like morning record, but I haven't done it yet. But I certainly wrote that record first.
If you could go back in time to day one of your career, would you do anything different?
Yeah. I had to make peace with that. I was really pissed off about that a lot. Because I've spoken about it before, but yes, I would say yes more. I was really afraid of making mistakes in the beginning, and I turned a lot of opportunities down based on some kind of false pretense of the way things are supposed to go. And I certainly think it's okay to turn opportunities down, but I think I did it so much that it became a way of hiding. And this record, you know, At the Ready was definitely that. It was like, well, it's too pop, and I don't want it to be so glossy and happy, and I want it to be a little more blue and, you know, weird and not so straightforward music. But part of that process for me has been that I hold on to that stuff for entirely too long. And then it passes by, and then it's just sitting on a hard drive, or I'm just waiting for some opportunity that doesn't reveal itself. So I think I would have said yes a lot more and done a lot more younger without such fear of failure. I think that's important. And anybody that's younger, that's starting out, like, I think it's really important to just say yes. I mean, it really is, because you can learn. Okay, I'll give you a good example. But being in LA, you meet a lot of people, right? And I had a conversation with Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he said, and we were talking a little bit about this, and I was asking him about writing songs, and his answer was great. He's one of those really high-level creative people. It just, his output is really intense. But I asked him, I said, what about writing songs? And he came out with this brilliant answer that I still remember. He said, even if you don't think it's going to be a great song, finish the song. Because it's important to complete that process. You know, to start something and then have things unfinished, that's something that I've had to encourage myself to do, to just complete the process, even if you don't put it out, or if it's not something you want to live with, you know, to keep in your, as part of your catalog. Sometimes I've gone back to those songs and I've been like, whoa, that song is killer. And I have some of those that I'm going to put out that were done like 10, 15 years ago that I finished because of that conversation. So say yes and finish, and try to finish things the best you can.
What's the coolest thing about being a musician?
You have an automatic outlet to your internal world. Mm-hmm. You don't need therapy. Save you money. You don't need therapy. You just put it in a song. You know, but you know.
Yeah.
Or again, you're exposing yourself, so you have to be willing to look ridiculous if it feels that way sometimes.
Is there an artist whose career path inspires you?
Oh, can I just say Bowie again?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I love that. I mean, like I said, I'm a performer. Acting is definitely something that I pursued, especially when I was younger. It's just that my ability to write a song became much more tangible for me. So, and I never wanted to leave music, but I definitely like projects, and I love identity, discovery. And he was such a master at that, as we all know. And you know, I wish it could be someone a little more obscure, but there's a reason why he's Bowie, you know. So I just have to say that that level of creativity is something I always strive to achieve, even though I fall short so many times, you know. But I did, you know, someone said, well, you should write a book on all the people that you've met and come across in a biography. And I just said the other day, it's like, I'm not even close to finishing my biography. Like, I have so much more to do. If we have 15 minutes of fame, right? I feel like I've used five.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting that. I've never really, you know, because when somebody says 15 minutes of fame, you know, you don't think of 15 minutes as much time, but then in the grand scheme of things, 15 minutes could be 150 years.
Well, exactly. I mean, and then, you know, exactly. I mean, it's and me Brently is not me. I'm just Brently for 100 years or whatever. You know, I believe that. I don't believe it's like, you know, that's something I did disagree with Bowie about. Like he was really all about humanism, and he sort of saw his life as his life and exclusive to itself. But I kind of look at it as this is my life as Brently for 100 years, and then it'll be. I'm kind of a big believer of, you know, soulful eternity. So it's like whether we come back or whatever it is, I don't know, you know, and what it's going to look like afterwards. But I think 15 minutes is relative to how you're viewing it, you know. But Andy Warhol was pretty right about that. You know, especially now. I mean, look how relevant that is. It's like you could be a TikTok star for your a song that comes out and everyone's talking about it for 15 minutes for sure. But in the scheme of things, yeah. It's a relative time is a relative thing to how you want to deem it, you know, seasonal. That's what I loved about Bowie. His life began. He had seasons of life. So he did his Ziggy Stardust for a little while, and then he did his, you know, his pop star for a while, and then he did his Elephant Man for a while, and you know, just love that.
How do you handle criticism?
When it's spot on, it's like when it's a magnifying glass and the light's on bright and it's something that I'm trying to avoid. And it comes out and someone's like, for example, you could really get me to be like, Brently, you're just average, man. I'm gonna squirm. And it depends on what the criticism is. If it's something that resonates with me that I could maybe work on, or that I could, you know, yeah, let's just say work on. If it's something that resonates with me and I could work on, I get really pissed off. If and then I settle down and I think through it and I think, well, thank you for that. You just told me something about myself that I could, you know, turn the light up a little more on. And then if it's something that doesn't even affect me, like, you know, you're an idiot, that doesn't bother me because I don't think I'm an idiot much. You know what I mean? It just depends on if there's a lot of truth to it or not as much truth to it. If from my perspective,
How do you maintain authenticity in what is often a superficial and image-driven industry?
balance. So the balance, I didn't have balance. I was doing a little bit here and there, but I wasn't able to have enough balance in my creative life versus my, let's keep food on the table and a roof over our heads life. I spent more time doing that and I was worn out, so I didn't have enough time for my authentic self. And I think it's really important to play. And if you don't know how to play, I think it's really important to find out what makes you play, what makes you happy, what keeps you inspired. It kind of goes back to the DNA and like poking myself. If I get complacent or lethargic or I'm not feeling the brain synapses go off or inspired to get outside, then I have to change that and fix that and lean into what makes me uncomfortable so that keeps me more true to who I am, because that's where I'm going to find myself. People don't find themselves in being comfortable all the time. People find out who they really are in being a little more uncomfortable. And I'm not saying like Jim Morrison would be like, throw all these drugs in yourself and then you won't be able to think too much about it. You'll just, I'm not saying that. You obviously have a brain and you got to use it. But, I am saying that don't be afraid to be uncomfortable and try new things. And I think that keeps people authentic. That's where I am these days. That's how I would answer that question, I think.
How does Brently Gore define success?
The amount of satisfaction that I feel of presenting something creative that came from me, and without being dishonest, having other people respond to that. Because I think I could be successful in my own mind easy enough, but I really feel. I really feel that having a response of some kind, even if it's a drastic negative one, I feel like having a response of something that I put out in front of people creatively, is important to me, even though I don't like to admit that. And success ultimately is how much love I feel. That's I do define success in terms of love. It's not always going to feel that way, but if I can feel a lot of if I can feel a lot of love, then I don't know, I feel successful. I'm maybe Greg, I could answer that question better. I don't know. That's a damn good question. How do I determine success? Yeah, I would just say self-satisfaction, even though that I'm still dealing with people pleasing. I still have a people pleaser in me that I'm trying to shake out. Self-satisfaction is probably my biggest success.
Is there a song that you feel like changed your life, be it one of yours or by somebody else?
I don't know that I could put that in. I don't know that I could pick one, though.
That's fair.
I don't think I can pick one. It's the artist. I'm a biography person, so I kind of feel like that the artist's life is more significant to me than a specific song that they've written. It's the catalog that drives me, not the spark.
Would you say that you are the artist that you thought you'd be when you decided to pursue music?
No. I mean, I like who I've become as an artist. I love who I've become as an artist, but I've never had a problem racing a cheetah or boxing a kangaroo. I never had a problem going for the brass ring ever. That never scared me. No, nothing it scares me with going for the brass ring, but I think I didn't think I would ever have to work in a corporate job. I never saw myself doing that. But I did it out of a need to not live a struggling artist life. Because it's not, I did that for years and years and years. It's not fun. That's the thing. It's like you're up and down and up and down. If you make enough money when you're up, then you can sort of ride it out. But for a period of my life in the 90, in the late 90s, I wrote, after deals went down and then money began to wear thin, I had to really, you couldn't just go out to eat whenever you want. And I don't like that. I decided I would, make some money, and fortunately, I was able to do that. And now here I am again back in the trenches, which I love the most still. I wouldn't, if I had to give, if I had to be broke and if I had to be broke and be an artist and make money and not be an artist, I would pick an artist every time.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on At the Ready.
At the Ready's everywhere. It's streaming everywhere. Spotify, iTunes. Feel free to playlist it. I've kind of just gotten back into building everything up, but At the Ready is just my newest release, and I'm sort of, this is the first time ever really doing promotion for things with music. So it's everywhere, and I have, if you just went to brentleygore.com, I have a website up that kind of links to all of those things, my YouTube page, everywhere. So, hopefully we're gonna, I'm gonna combine some of this TV show. We did a reunion in New York City a little while ago, and people want some more of that. So hopefully what I'm gonna do is tour on this record and combine some of those California Dreams fans, because it's not that far off of that. And maybe expose At the Ready to a few more people. So, but you can stream all of it now, and there's plenty of material up there that you can kind of listen to what I've done over the years. Hopefully you love it.
Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and talk to me about the music. I've enjoyed this a whole lot.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. I really appreciate the questions and the pace, and had a really good time, Greg. I appreciate it. You too.
We'll be back every Wednesday and Thursday with all new episodes of Headliners. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Headliners is a Your Life the Mixtape Media LLC production in partnership with Rod Wharton Productions. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this episode may be reproduced commercially without explicit consent.